Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Jim and even Pastor Kurt. You know, God is doing something great in this hour, and we have to always keep our eyes on Him. No matter what you're going through, no matter what is happening, never look at the carnal. Always look at the spirit. And I truly believe that we're living in a time right now, and God is doing something in this hour. And we need to be people to hear God's voice. We need to be people to understand and know what God is doing in this hour. If you look at all the stories throughout the Bible, God has always done something with His people. Amen. It wasn't that God was doing something and the people didn't know what God was doing. The people were always tapping in and listening to what God was saying in that hour and following the leading of what God was doing. This is the purpose of the church, really. The purpose of the church is to be connected one to another and hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church, so that God can instruct us on how to live, what to do at that hour, how to live within that hour. You know, a lot of people think that when they become a Christian, they have to sacrifice everything and they have to change their whole entire lifestyle and, you know, all these things. But that's not real true. God loves you just the way you are. God is working out salvation through obedience. Amen. Not because He wants to change you into something that you're not. Listen, I believe everybody was born with God in them. And through growing up, we go through sufferings and we go through situations, trials and tribulations, so to say. But these sufferings and all that, we take on characteristics. This is why when we receive instruction like truth and things of that nature, it shows us how to basically change those characteristics. For example, when we grow up, we tend to get offended, and then bitterness tends to get rooted in us. And God is basically saying, listen, if you continue to uphold bitterness, you're going to rot. You're going to rot inside, so get free from bitterness. It's kind of like instructions of truth so that you could be healed, delivered, and set free. But there's also something beyond just changing character by being free of anger and resentment and hatred and all these other things. It's about being obedient to the leading of God. I have been using this reference now for a little bit in the sense of the Israelites and where Moses was setting the people free and God instructed putting blood along the doorpost. And this way the plagues that came through didn't hurt those individuals, because why? They were obedient. They put the blood around the doorpost. And the plagues that came through didn't touch or affect those individuals. That still holds true today about being obedient and hearing what God is saying. And I truly believe God speaks very loud throughout the world. It's just a matter of being able to hear what the Spirit is saying to really His people. And we're all children of God. Every one of us are children of God. We just haven't really received the adoption, so to say, the acceptance that, yes, I am a child of God. Yes, you know, I'm coming in so that I can live a better life, so that I can have a life of an eternity. Well, in this hour, He has been instructing us about some important things. And we all really need to follow the instructions of what God is saying. And part of those instructions that God is saying is, for one, that hatred, that plague of hatred that is being poured out right now, we have to be very careful not to get connected to that hatred. If anybody is causing hatred, don't get snagged into it. You know, you might have to leave the room. Whatever has to be done, we have to get away from the hatred. The other thing that God was saying was to have forgiveness in our hearts. And it's very important to carry forgiveness, because if we don't have forgiveness to others, our Father in heaven can't forgive us. And if you were following the ministry and listening to last Wednesday, Pastor Tim mentioned something about how God has laws in heaven and he can't go against the laws in heaven. So it's almost like he has so much love for us, but if we're breaking laws in heaven, he can't do anything but weep over us. He can't do anything but just kind of like cry or send a messenger over there to say, hey, change the way you're thinking so you can be set free. I began to speak about a prayer that we all know. It's the Father's prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I broke it all down in how I believe God is saying it in this hour. And then it said, you know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But I want to talk about this next part. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, let's go back to forgiveness real quick. If we run into that place where we don't forgive ourselves or we don't forgive somebody else, and we tend to harbor unforgiveness, our Father in heaven can't forgive us. So what's the next step? He begins to start leading us into temptation. There's a plead right there. Father, don't lead me into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. There's a hearkening for us. In the scripture verses, there's a part where there's a group that sees judgment. And in that, they cried out and said, Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. And he said, get away from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. And then you hear another cry, but Lord, I did all these things in your name, please. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. And I began to start really, you know, crying out, Lord, what are you actually saying here? What is it that they did that wasn't pleasing in your sight? Well, for one, we came to that conclusion, unforgiveness. They must have had some unforgiveness inside them. Somewhere along the line, they must have harbored unforgiveness. You know, there's been a light bulb that came on in my heart. And I got so excited because I'm thinking to myself, my God, our God loves us so much and he accepts us exactly who we are. There is no need to change when we come before him. You know, we could be as simple and funny and dumb and stupid and the whole nine yards and live a life if we just connect to this one simple truth. Forgive others. Unconditionally forgive. There's a scripture verse here in the Bible that I want to refer to, which points to forgiveness, which is really cool. Hopefully I can find it real quick. And it begins to speak about forgiveness. But I won't, right now it's just not, the verse isn't, it says, here in Matthew 6, verse 44, it says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Can you see forgiveness in there? It says, that you may be sons of your heavenly Father in heaven. So that you could be sons of the Father in heaven. How much simpler could that be? Right there. I see unforgiveness like you wouldn't believe. And to come to God, is really not putting on a righteous garment, not changing, you know, your lifestyle. You can still live the way you're living. It's the most coolest thing for me. I hope God begins to reveal to you what I see. Because you know how many people out there don't want to come to God or don't want to come to church because they feel as though that they have to change their lifestyle. They might like going out partying. They might like going out hanging out with certain friends. They might like throwing the way they talk or what have you. You know, how many people have felt that way before when they wanted to go to church or thinking to themselves, "Oh, I gotta change, and you know, I'm not ready to change yet." You know, I want to go to church. I want to have a relationship with God. I want to be a part of a better life. But I just don't want to change yet. I'm just not ready for that. How many have really truly felt that way? I was like that too. I was like, I don't need God. I didn't say I didn't need God. I said, I don't need church. I don't need to be a part of that. I'll have my own little church inside, you know. And that's all good. But we do need one another. We do need to be lifted up and be built up and edified. I mean, everybody goes through hard times. Everybody gets persecuted. Everybody gets, you know, if you're by yourself, you want to just lounge out and attack those people that get you and all that. But the people in the church are supposed to be, you know, mature enough to say, hey, no, love, remember? Love your enemy. Come on now. If we don't forgive them, our Father in heaven won't forgive us. So we just want forgiveness. Let us soak on that one, okay? And now I want to move on to temptation. Don't avoid, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Because I'm going to tell you right now, we're all going to be falling short in unforgiveness. I mean, you might have a little bit of anger inside of you. No, I'm not going to talk to that person today. I don't want to deal with that person right now. And sometimes you might have to show that other person a lesson. You see? Because maybe they just treated you wrongful. Maybe they're just showing you disrespect. How many of us have those individuals in our lives where it's just like we need to step back from them because it seems like every time I'm around them, they got something bad to say or they make me feel bad or something. Well, you can't say that you don't develop a little anger in your heart because we're people of a nature. And that nature, that carnal nature, is an instant I don't think I like you right now. And that's like a love less. And that's a form of hatred. So, you know, we try to build ourselves up and say, you know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We try to bring ourselves into that place of not having forgiveness. But you know what? Sometimes it comes in like a little leaven. And that little leaven begins to spoil the whole bunch. So what we need to do now is have a heart to plead, Father, don't lead me into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Now you have to say to yourself, okay, what is the temptation? You know, everybody takes temptation as like putting eye candy in front of someone and they get all, ooh. Does everybody understand what that is? Okay. Or, you know, other things that are big and obvious that you can, you know, relate to. But temptation really comes down to this: entertaining and bowing down to the imaginations of your mind, like worry and fear. Worry and fear are probably the biggest temptations that tend to get us, and we are led into it. So when we say, Father, don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, basically what we're crying out and saying, God, don't let this enemy speak into my head. Give me the powers to cast down the imagination so that I don't have these thoughts that will cause my heart to have love less. Amen? We need to be able to be free of these things. And when temptation does come, we need to plea and realize who can deliver us from these temptations. Because if you look at the end of the prayer, it says, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for now and forever. Amen." So it gives all worship and power back into the hands of God. God, please deliver me from the enemy. Deliver me from this temptation. And I looked at temptation and I started to look, because as you follow the scriptures, it begins to go into worry. So why worry about tomorrow when tomorrow can, you know, be sufficient for its own? And it just continues to go into, it says here, for one, it says, after the prayer, it says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." It says, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites," blah, blah, blah. We spoke about the fast. And it says here, "Let your lamp be the light of the eye, and therefore if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light." Now, when you take the eye and you begin to start seeing light, that's love. That's not hatred. That's not loveless. That's looking at someone and beginning to have that forgiveness in your heart. And when you begin to love people unconditionally and say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," you begin to start bringing that light into your eye. Well, last thing we want is judgment. We don't want judgment at all in our hearts. And when we begin to start judging individuals, we have to always have that heart of, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I believe within this hour, because God's doing something, he's trying to bring us. If you look back at messages, the messages that we've been speaking in here, if you look back at these messages, before, God was starting to tell us how to become sons of God. How do you know if you truly are a son and a daughter of the living God? Just because you go to church? Just because one day you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? What is actually allowing you to become sons of God? Well, we read that one scripture just recently about how if we forgive those who persecute us, those who did it, blah, 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 but it was all about forgiveness, then you will be a son or a daughter of the living God in heaven. So forgiveness is one of the biggest keys that we can walk in this hour. This hour right now. How many really truly believe that God is alive and he's doing something in this hour? And we need to listen. Look, I'd rather know what God is saying and telling us what we need to do so that we're protected when he's doing something. It's almost like, listen, I'm about to do something, and before I do it, there's going to be a big flash, and a tremendous amount of heat is going to happen. So you have to put this garment on to protect you. So here, put on this farmer suit, fire suit, okay? Put this fire suit on so that when I blast this building, you're not going to get affected by the heat or the spark. How many people understand? Now, if we didn't hear the instructions, and then the building went ahead and got just demolished and blown up, and we weren't protected with the fire suit and the face shield on, we're going to get hurt, right? That's exactly what's happening right now. God is saying something. He's about to do something, and he's looking to protect his people. So he's setting us up with gear. He's setting us up with garments to protect us. And right now, one of the garments is forgiveness. We have to really embrace this forgiveness thing that he's speaking in this hour. It's so valuable right now. It's almost like, you know, this time last year, maybe forgiveness wasn't a real big key in the eyes of God right now. Maybe it was, a form of, who knows, anything. Could have been anything. But right now, in this time, forgiveness. Forgiveness. And then he's preparing us, because this temptation is being released. When circumstances happen in our lives, does our minds run wild? All of a sudden, imaginations start to happen. Let me throw a monkey wrench in your life. What starts to happen? Crazy imaginations, don't it? Oh my God, what am I going to do? What's going to happen? Oh, the world's ending. All these imaginations start happening. So what do we need to be delivered from? The evil one. Our minds need to be set free. So that I believe in this hour, as we build on unforgiveness, because God knows. He knows our strengths and our weaknesses. He knows. But as long as we're trying, I think he's righteous and just to forgive us. So let's say I don't have all the unforgiveness in me. You know, I still harbor a little anger here and I'm fighting it. But as long as I'm fighting it, as long as I'm not blowing it off, as long as I'm showing an attention to it, God is righteous and just to forgive. Well, when he gives that forgiveness to us, he's delivering us from the evil one. So he's putting our minds to rest. And he's not allowing these imaginations to come and attack us. And this, I believe, in this hour, is very important that our minds don't go in a place where it brings worry. How many people are following me? Okay. When you hear a news report and it's not good, what's the first thing that comes to you? Worry, right? Okay. Well, these are the things I believe God is trying to strengthen us and prepare us. Now, as we begin to follow these instructions, it begins to start speaking about how our eye begins to be light. And if our eye is light, we see light, okay, then our whole body becomes light. So if we begin to start having forgiveness to one another, and we walk casting down these imaginations that are attacking us, and God, you know, we're crying out, Lord, you know, please, we're doing all that we can. Just release me from the temptations. Deliver me from the temptations. Because, of course, we go back to the end of that prayer. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for now and forever. Amen, right? So what we're doing is we're giving all the glory back to God. God, whatever it is, deliver me from the evil one. Deliver me from the evil one. Our heart is being established in this area to deliver us from the evil one. And as we begin to walk with this sense of humility, I want to say, then our eyes begin to get light. And then our whole body is transformed into light. And I believe this is part of the protection that is going to come upon his people. He wants our whole body to be transformed into a light image. This is spiritual. This isn't a carnal thing. You're not going to start glowing. Okay? But in the spiritual realm, God is pleading for us to hear his word so that we can be images of light for when these things start to take place. God is going to move. He's going to do something. And I'm going to refer back to Moses when he went and asked Pharaoh to deliver his people. How many people are interceding for revival? Awesome. I'm proud of you. How many people are tired of seeing people suffer? So are you not like Moses? Crying to Pharaoh, set my people free. You know, you're saying to the enemy, set them free. How many of us know some loved ones who are in bondage, who we want to be set free? We know that the enemy has some kind of grip on them, and you know that they're great people, but for some reason or another, there's a grip on them. And we're crying out, Set them free, set them free, set them free. And they're saying, no, no, I want to destroy them for a little bit. I want to use them as slaves a little bit more. No. So what's God do? God says, I'm going to strong arm you. Now, this is a spiritual thing going on. Okay, this is a spiritual thing going on. How many people realize that there are powers in darkness? And yes, God's ultimately in control, right? And then there's a point of trying to pry the grip off of Satan now. It's like this. Okay, God, Satan goes to God and says, let me destroy Job. Everyone knows the story of Job, right? I would hope. If not, I'll just give it a brief summary. Job was a man after God's own heart. Great, stout man, had a lot of stuff. Satan had a conversation with God, and in the conversation, talking about righteousness. Satan goes, how about Job? Let me have him. God's like, I know Job loves me. All right, go ahead, go get him. But just don't kill him. So Satan goes after him. He goes after Job, starts stripping. Job's crying out, help! All right, I realize, you're God, I'm not. Satan's got his grips on him. Now it's time to pry the grip off of Satan's hands. He don't want to let him go. He got permission to have him. Now he's got to get his hands pried from him. This is what I'm talking about right now. There's an intercession right now going on. We don't realize it, but our hearts have been interceding for a very long time. For loved ones, for people that we don't even know, for nations, countries, cities, towns. How many have prayed for just a town or a city? Not only just your loved ones, but your family. How many prayed for the country? Don't you want to know where your prayers are going? Don't you want to know what's happening? You see where I'm coming from? Isn't this awesome? It's awesome stuff. So now God's hearing our prayers. Okay? He released darkness, and these people were captured. But now it's time to pry the hands of darkness off of them. And God is saying that I'm going to start, but at the same time, we need to be people of light. We need to be transformed into light. I'm hoping that I'm light, but you know, I'm just going to continue to listen to God and continue to follow his instructions. And I'm going to tell you right now, forgiveness is a big issue. It's very hard to forgive people, especially when they persecute you. And what was this kind of forgiveness that God was talking about? Man, it's kind of the forgiveness that you just don't want to deal with. You're persecuted. Where does it go? Well, I can't find it now. But at the same time, it seems like you're pretty much tortured. And if you're like me, I have a hard time forgiving. Lately, I have an easy time forgiving because I just kind of say, they just don't know what they're doing. You know, it is what it is. I get angry, and then it takes me a while, and then I kind of shrug it off, and they'll be like, oh, well, God, you're ultimately in control. And the only way that I got this way was because I understand truth. I began to slowly build myself. This truth is a workout. It's no different than a physical body. You can't lift a 1,000 pounds before you start working out with a small amount of weight. We got to start somewhere, right? We got to work out our salvation. And if we have forgiveness issues, don't give up. Our Father in heaven As long as he sees you trying, his mercy and his grace and his love is like you've forgiven. So if you just show a little bit of forgiveness. How many of us just recently got into an argument? How many of us recently just got into a fight? Come on. It happens every day. Somewhere, somehow, somebody caused an issue or a problem with each other. And if you haven't gotten in an argument or if you haven't gotten a fight, I'm going to say that you're a liar. So we have to come into this place of forgiveness. We got to look at that person and forgive. And then work out the differences. Sit down. Most of the time, the reason why we don't forgive is because we don't clearly understand what the other one is saying. We got to find out what's going on here. We got to remove all the judgments and all that other stuff. And then we have to humble ourselves and come to a place of love. And if we cast down these judgments and we stay open-minded and we humble ourselves, then our eyes begin to start seeing light. This is the key in this hour right now. Our eyes need to begin to see light. Look, it's so important to grab hold of what God is saying. And it's very important to hear every week what God is saying. It's very important to tap into what God is saying. And I am very grateful for this ministry because we can follow what God is saying. Because God isn't going to stop and wait for you. God's not going to be like, well, he missed last week's instructions, so I think I'll just hold up for him. Let me just give that person a minute until they catch up. You better catch up. That's why Sam, his evangelistic anointing came out Wednesday and was like, get back and listen to those messages. Listen to what God is saying. Get caught up. Catch up what is happening right now in this hour. Right now, we need the eyes of light. We got to start seeing light. We got to start seeing light because if we start seeing light, what happens is our whole body becomes light. We need to be transformed into this light image because what happened with Pharaoh and Moses? When Moses was crying out to Pharaoh, let my people go, and there was a darkness that was gripping and was stubborn. No, I'm not going to let him go. No, I'm not going to let him go. So a plague went through, and the only thing that set them free was the instructions of God. They put the blood around the doorpost, and then the plague went past, destroyed the oldest son at that time or whatever God was doing. But the plague came through, and those that had the blood around the doorpost were protected. Well, this is kind of like the same scenario, but in a different way. It's not blood on your doorpost. It's about you being transformed into light. Having your spiritual being illuminated in light so that when these things pass by, they're not going to touch you. You or your family. Now, when the blood was on the doorpost, what do? They took everybody from that household. You see? And they went into the house. We are spiritual houses, especially the men, unfortunately. You know, we're like the priesthood of the home. It's just what it is. And, you know, if the woman is more spiritual than the man, then her intercession becomes the house. Praise God, right? And so the moral of the story is the household is protected. So whoever went into that household didn't get affected, right? So I wouldn't worry so much about those that are oppressed. I would say you as the intercessor, get your light. Take care of the word that is given. Forgiveness is so much of a key right now so that we are delivered from the evil one. When we come to that place of being delivered of the evil one, it's like God just prying the fingers of darkness from us. How many of us have some loved ones that have some darkness that is just encamped on them, that they just won't kick those habits? I got some loved ones that aren't even in my family that I cry out and intercede for. And they have some issues. They have darkness that has gripped on them, and it's a shame. There might even be some that have entered into that door and are not here today because they just have some issues. We'll just say issues. And it's sad. I had a good friend of mine die only about 2 weeks ago because of an issue. It's not cool. It's not cool. And so we have to break. We got to break these demonic strongholds and that are over our lives, over our loved ones, and not fall into these issues. If we have a life right now that is good around us, let's keep it that way. You see, I look at your lives and I see goodness. Let's keep it this way. Let's grow in the truth. Let's avoid problems, future problems. Let's avoid temptations. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Who wants that kind of heart? I want that kind of heart. I want a good life. I want a blessed life. I don't want problems. I just want to be left alone. Let me do what I got to do what I got to do. Don't throw curveballs at me. Don't throw brick walls in front of me. Don't throw these things that are going to steal my time for my day, because I got to keep doing what I got to do to get what I got to do. How many people understand what I'm saying? The worst thing that can happen in your life is a curveball, and it robs your whole day. How many have just recently had a day robbed over nonsense? Did we really have to go through this? We could have been to a movie. We could have had a nice dinner. Our day is stolen. Darkness has one job: rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And God is trying to deliver his people. Listen, God is doing something every day. He's bringing judgment every day. Tomorrow he might wipe out that town. He might just mess with that family. He's bringing judgment every day. How many people understand what I'm saying? Okay? The enemy cannot do anything unless God allows it, period. Okay, so if you think the enemy is out there just doing anything he wants to do, No, there has to be a reason why. 99% of the time, it's because of lack of knowledge. My children are suffered and they're destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And if we don't have the truth in us, the truth cannot set us free. And that's why we're supposed to come to church. We're supposed to come here so that we can get knowledge, so that we can get truth, so that we can understand what God is doing in this hour, so that we can be equipped and trained for the battle. There's a spiritual warfare that is going on, and we are a part of the war. And our actions and our character and our disposition, based on lack of understanding of spiritual truth, opens up the Pandora box. And God has established a law in heaven, and we have to follow the law that is written in heaven. Not only the law that is written on our heart, but there's a law that's written on heaven. And when we break the law in heaven, all God can do is just weep over us, because he can't stop judgment. Judgment is happening every day. And through the knowledge of truth, we can avoid judgment in our lives. That's what I want. I want to avoid the judgment in my life. Now, the issue is, don't think judgment is going to stop. It's not like you reach a certain point of knowledge and all of a sudden you're judgment free. Uh-uh. Knowledge is ever increasing. Because there's a scripture. Paul says, I count everything I know as dung so that I can know him the more. So what is basically he saying? I haven't reached the knowledge. I'm always learning. I'm always learning. This is God's way of creating a humble spirit. This is a way of God creating a broken, contrite spirit. You're always going to have a heart, Father, forgive me. And Father, deliver me from the evil one. Don't lead me into temptation. That's what God wants to brand in your heart today. We're subject. We're subject to attacks. We're subject to temptation. And our light needs to come through our eye and how we see. And the first thing we need to see is forgiveness. We need to forgive those who have persecuted us, who have done us wrong, who have did things in our lives, who have done things around us. We got to forgive things that we're not even a part of. We got to forgive to the point where judgment is wiped out of our hearts. How many people understand what I'm saying? Has anyone judged anything? Do we understand what judgment is? How about a bad opinion about something? We'll just make it simple. I like simple messages. It allows me to understand and be able to apply it. So I don't want any bad judgment. I don't want to have any bad comments, thoughts. Even if I don't like it, I try to just find something good in it. Well, maybe. I don't know. And then this is the part where I cry out. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Because if I have any negative judgment in my heart, and I'm judging something. Listen, even sin. If you see someone willfully sinning, okay, you can have judgment towards that, couldn't you? Right there in itself, my heart is already tacking, deliver me from the evil one. Don't let me fall into temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. Because I don't want to have these attacks. Let me ask you this question. Does God judge us? Does he see our sin? Does he judge our sin? He loves us unconditionally. I don't want you to get confused with God's love and his law. Okay? His law is written, and the enemy has rights if we break the law. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. We fall short of his glory. We come under a law. When we fall short of his glory, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you anymore. And I want people to understand this, because we have a sense that God is going to like smack us around and everything. No, God doesn't smack you around. The law in heaven smacks you around. God's love is unconditionally full of grace and full of mercy that is far beyond what we can comprehend or even imagine. And that's what makes me so much in love with him, and I'm a fool because of the fact that it's not between me and God. It's between me and getting right in order of the law. The law in heaven. How many people understand where I'm coming from? Because I want you so madly in love with God and not afraid of him. I want you to take accountability of your life and stop blaming darkness. I want you to take accountability of your life and realize and come into a place of humility so that we can cry out and say, Lord, deliver me from the evil one. Don't let me fall into temptation, because we're all subject to fall. And it has nothing to do with God's love towards you. God loves us unconditionally. Loves us, and loves us. And the beautiful thing is, as long as we show a little glimpse of repentance, as long as he sees you trying, he's already prying the grips off of judgment. He's already prying the grip of darkness from you. He's already delivering you from the evil one. He's already doing. That's what I want. I want a heart that is always looking at him and his glory and his power, and having a form of repentance in my heart. Whether there's judgment, Lord, deliver me from the temptation. I don't want these seeds to come into my mind and create judgment. Set me free. He's setting you free. He's pulling the grips of darkness from you, because you're showing humility. You're showing the fact that you're subject to fall. We all fall short of the glory of God. And if we have any ounce of pride in us, it's just squeezing the grips of darkness on us. Because God hates pride. And it won't break the law. Pride will not break the law. How many are following me? If you're not, it's okay. These things will eventually soak in. They'll come back to remembrance. You'll be like, oh my God, now I know what he's saying. Oh my God, oh my God. Sometimes it takes some digesting. We have to swallow it, digest it. You know what I mean? And then eventually it becomes life. I've said a lot. Deep, deep stuff. But we got to follow it. We got to hear it. We got to be able to abide by it. What better is it to get instructions from the Lord and be delivered and saved? Why are we going to church? We're going to church to be saved. You're right. You're absolutely right. Keep that heart. We don't come for the programs and stuff. We come for instruction. My children are suffered and are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. We need spiritual knowledge. We need to hear what God is saying in this hour so that he can instruct us, so that when he releases plagues, rather good plagues, bad plagues, yellow plagues, purple plagues, whatever. When God is doing something throughout the land, we have instructions. I want instructions. How many people want instructions? How many people want to know what God is doing and that we're doing what he's asking us to do so that we're not affected by anything? I don't want the darkness to take my finances. I work hard. I don't want the darkness to take my life. I work hard. I don't want darkness to bring sickness on me. I work hard. I don't want darkness to take any of my kids. I work hard. I don't want anything to come against my relationships. I work hard. Everybody works hard in their relationships. Amen? Relationships are hard. Takes work. We got to find out what makes them tick. You know, what they're thinking, because most people can't communicate. And I'm going to tell you right now, communication is probably your greatest gift that you can have. If you don't talk, guess what? We're not mind readers. We don't know which one's thinking what. Gotta talk. Well, this is the same thing with God. We gotta talk to him. We gotta say to God, listen, I know you can hear his voice. I want you to hear his voice so bad. I want you to leave this place and be able to cry out to him and say, Lord, show me. And if you ask, you will receive. And he will guide you and lead you and direct you in all of your ways. So that we're delivered of this evil one that is, listen, it's poured out. We're not stopping it. It's here. Darkness has covered the earth. Yes, God has called forth light. And yes, light is here. But darkness is here too. And we need to be people to change to the light. And if our eye begins to see the light, our whole body is changed into light. And when our whole body is changed into light, darkness cannot grab hold of our house. We need to repent. We need to change the way we're thinking. We cannot think that we're good people. We cannot think that there is nothing going on in our lives. There is sin dwelling there, and that's just the way it is. We'll never get rid of it. We will subdue it. We will put it under our feet. It never leaves. We only rise above it. We're all subject to temptation. Humility is probably the greatest gift that we can receive. Paul says he's the chief sinners of them all. Jesus said, why do you call me good? Because there is no one good. Let us break our righteous hearts and come into a place of humility, realizing that we're subject to temptation. We are subject. How many people will have a good day? And how many of us feel righteous in that day? Woo, I had a good day. I'm feeling good. I must be good. Well, that's when the warning flags fly up. You know, I kind of am getting to the place where I don't mind bad days, because bad days kind of put me on my knees. Good days kind of make me stand proud. I don't know if I want to stand proud in this day, in this hour. I think right now the whole world's full of pride. And there's a big, big hand that's coming. Crack! You know, you look around, how many would agree with me that it's almost like history's repeating itself and we're just in a different age, but I mean, the same spirit is being poured out. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah. Huh? How many people would agree with me on this one? God, it's incredible. It's insane. I look at our younger generation. I don't know how they're doing it. To be able to come under some truth, some background, and be able to have the other stuff around them. How many people understand what I'm saying? It's tough. It's tough. How do you agree with something that you weren't brought up to agree with? And it's rampant. It's going crazy. But with all that being said, let's be concerned about our own heart. Evil is happening. There's going to be bad stuff that's going to go on. It's almost like we have to love the bad. How do you do that? This is where I'm really pondering. God, how do you love evil? Because you know God loves evil. He lets it rain on the wicked. That's mind-blowing if you really think about it. That's deep, isn't it? And the only way that I can think of is because of the law in heaven, and he can't go against the law. He's weeping over the evil. He loves because in the evil, there's purity. In that evil, inside that nucleus of darkness, there's light. And that's what he sees. He sees the light in the darkness. And because he sees the light in the darkness and he loves so much, he's asking us to see the same way he does. In this hour, he's asking us to be like him. I believe revival is going to be poured out. And the only way that it's going to be poured out is if God pours His Spirit out. Are we going to be willing vessels to carry His Spirit, to have the image of His love on earth as it is in heaven? To walk in that unconditional love that is able to see the little mustard seed of light in the darkness that is encamped all around us. This is where God is bringing us, to love those who persecute you, to love those who come against you, to love you, to love them so much that we take all unforgiveness out of our hearts and have a broken, contrite spirit to know that we're subject to darkness and that evil one can come and get us. Let us bow our heads right now for a moment. I ran out of time. I want to finish off the service by having a corporate prayer. And if you would connect your heart with mine and we intercede together. Father, forgive us, for we know not what we did. Even though that we seem like we haven't done anything, I'm sure there's a seed there somewhere that we sinned. Teach me how to resist temptation. Show me. Give me the strength. Your power, your glory, come into my life and empower me to resist temptation so that I can be delivered of this evil one. Purify me so that my eyes can see the light and my whole body is transformed into light. Let me know you the more so that I'm protected by your covering, so that the desires of my heart that you have put in there come to pass. And nothing taken, robbed, or destroyed from me. But my hopes and my dreams come alive. That nothing fades away or dies. Relationship, family, children, job, career, money, and restore what has already been taken away. Father, I pray that you hear the hearts of those that have prayed today. And not only have you heard their heart, but you put a strong conviction to know you the more. To make a point to come and hear your instructions, hear your word. And not take the day as a common day, but take this as a time of holiness and a time of reverence and a time of worship. Discipline me so that I can walk in your ways and know you the more. I pray that. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. At the end, I'm going to ask Sam if he would close. And I want to say God bless. Thank you for coming out and hearing what God has to say. I hope to see you next week. And if you could, log in on Wednesdays too, because we have an awesome round table too. You can listen. Amen. Let's give a hand of praise for
Amen. Really quick. pastor was talking about temptation. And let me just read this to you real quick in James. Because temptation is where sin comes from. It's the only place sin comes from is temptation. But God's not tempting you. Remember that. It says, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. So this temptation message is necessary. It's vital. Because, you know, we have to remember something. No one can offend you unless you allow them to offend you. No one can offend you unless you allow them to offend you. We keep forgetting. We keep denying, forgetting truth that's taught in here and getting offended. How do we know we're not meditating? How do we know? We're offended every moment. This guy's pissing you off. This girl's pissing you off. This is pissing you off. Listen, no one can offend you unless you allow them to offend you. You have a truth inside of you. And that truth will set you free. Don't let him steal your peace. Don't let him steal your joy. When you find yourself losing your peace, walk away. Speak to yourself. Bring truth to yourself. Bring yourself under self-control. This temptation is not from God. It's the lust that's inside of us, our desires that are apart from his will. I want to be right. I don't care what this says. I want to be right. I don't care what she says. He says, I want to be right. Humble yourself. Who cares? Who cares if you're right? You know, most arguments, 10 minutes after an argument, you forget what you're arguing about in the beginning. You totally forget what you've argued about. You made so many points that the initial root of the argument is gone. It doesn't even matter. Keep your peace. Keep your joy. Stop being offended. You are choosing to be offended. You're choosing it. And you walk away like a victim. Don't be a victim. Be strong in the power of his might. Be strong. And the truth of the Lord will set you free. Amen? Wednesday night, 7:30 service. Have a good week, guys. Amen?